Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome, listener. I'm glad you're here. Take a seat next to the fire.
Welcome to Obscura, where we shine a light on the dark.
October 2016, Devin Morningstar's trial for the first-degree murder of Bailey Wiley, as well as a charge of arson with disregard for human life, began. The taped interviews from his arrest were submitted as evidence, and witness testimony, including LeBlanc, his friend who picked up Morningstar, and the other two suspects after the murder, as well as a neighbor who heard some of the commotion. The pathologist provided testimony that the victim suffered burns to the upper part of his body, but he was already dead when he suffered those burns. There were simply too many injuries on the victim for the pathologist to count all of them, but he estimates there were 140 to 150 injuries all over the body, front to back, from top to bottom. The doctor believed all of these injuries were caused while Bailey was alive. A few of these were blunt force injuries, but the majority of these were injuries caused by stabbing. There were no bone fractures. The pathologist identified certain injuries to the neck, chest, and abdomen that either alone or together caused the victim's death. There were 35 penetration injuries in the neck of multiple length and of depths from 1 millimeter to 1.5 centimeter. The doctor testified that anything the depth of 1.5 centimeter would be about the length of the first digit on a finger, and everything that deep in the neck could hit something vital. On the right side of the neck, the carotid had been severed, which would have created a rapid loss of blood. There were three injuries on the left side of the neck, but they were not very deep, which is consistent with what Morningstar told investigators about his weak attempt of trying to stab Bailey. There were also 35 sharp force injuries on the chest. Six of these penetrated the victim's right lung, broke through the pericardial sac surrounding the heart, and penetrated one of the chambers of the heart. These injuries created a combination of tension pneumothorax, which would cause death by asphyxia, and then death by loss of blood from the penetration to the heart. There were six sharp force injuries to the abdomen, five of which were penetrating stab wounds. One of these was a penetrating stab wound to the liver, which went through the liver. The pathologist could not identify a specific weapon which caused the injuries, although evidence collected at the scene provided a broken piece of a mirror, a box cutter, and an X-Acto knife. An expert witness testified that blood on Morningstar's pants from the night of the murder matched that of Bailey Wiley. Evidence such as a shard of broken mirror, a dagger, and a curtain rod were shown in court. The trial lasted until November 11, 2016, with the jury finding him guilty on both counts. The charge of first-degree murder carries an automatic sentence of life with the possibility of parole at 25 years. The sentence comes with a mandatory judicial review at 15 years, DNA database registry, and a weapons ban. Justice John Walsh had this to say to Morningstar: "You deny that you are a monster, and I heard what you had to say. I've taken a note of your age and that you help police. I agree, you are no monster, but you will be held accountable for your actions." Morningstar had earlier apologized for his decisions. Walsh also said, "I have no words for the family of the victims or the accused. Two families destroyed, one literally forever. Wiley was no threat. He was a victim and a target for reasons I find incomprehensible." During Morningstar's trial, his defense attorney argued in the absence of the jury that there was another suspect in Bailey's murder. Aside from the three who had been arrested, The defense asked a police witness if a man named Frank Hannay, a man known to police for prior weapons, prostitution, and drug matters, was at the crime scene on Sumac Street after Bailey was discovered in the burning house. He also asked if Hannay had told police officers that he had heard he was a suspect in the crime. Constable Eric Bergeron, the witness, replied that he had seen Hannay outside the home, but that he had told Hannay if he had information about the crime, he should speak to investigators. At this point, jurors were dismissed, and the judge, prosecutor, and defense attorney discussed the possible additional subject in great detail. This discussion was covered by a publication ban that expired when the jury was sequestered to begin jury deliberations. The defense told the judge and prosecutor that, quote, Mr. Morningstar was manipulated. He was to be the fall guy for this. According to the defense, days before Bailey met Morningstar, he had reported to the police that he was scared for his safety. He explained that Bailey and Shepard were working as prostitutes in St. John, and that Bailey was being forced to work there by Alan Lee, who was an associate of Hannay. The defense also explained there had been some type of altercation between Hannay and Shepard, and that Hannay was concerned about Bailey. The concern was that Bailey was a rat and had gone to the police about several people, including Hannay. As part of his evidence, the defense pointed to an email between two police officers sent a week before Bailey was killed. The first officer told the second officer that Bailey had been arrested for missing court orders. Bailey told the officer he had been taken by Lee and forced to work in St. John, was scared, and was not sure what to do. The other said in the email that Bailey was, quote, one of our prolifics, so I took it with a grain of salt. The defense continued that Hannay is how Shepard got away that night and managed to elude authorities for so long. Prosecutor Stephen Holt accused the defense of, quote, trying to create a confusing cloud of suspicion around a person who clearly was not present at the residence or involved in any way. Walsh would not allow the additional information about a potential suspect be presented before the jury due to the threshold set by the Supreme Court of Canada. The threshold is high and has to be met before the idea of a third-party suspect can be placed before the jury. If this threshold was not that high, then all trials would be sidetracked by speculation about who might have committed the crime. At the time of Morningstar's trial, Hannay was incarcerated, awaiting a trial on several drug and firearm charges. Angela Wiley, Bailey's aunt, read a victim impact statement to the court, stating that Bailey's murder had changed her life and taken away her independence at the age of 37. She had to move back in with her parents, was hospitalized, put on medications, had to take a month off from work, and would cry every morning when she logged into her computer. Amanda Wiley, Bailey's mother, did not wish to make an impact statement in court, and the family refused to make a statement after sentencing. Amanda rushed out of the courtroom when Morningstar's lawyer made a statement about his client's lack of a record and his motivation to take general education development courses. Meanwhile, in Shepard's family, more legal issues ensued. In the early morning hours of November 20, 2016, Shepard's mother, Christine Carson, walked into a Circle K store in Moncton and asked the clerk for 8 packs of cigarettes. She told the clerk she had a gun in her pocket and left with 8 packs of cigarettes. Police were called, given a description of the woman and the vehicle she had left in. The officers also reviewed surveillance video. The store manager informed the police a similar situation had happened the day before, when a customer had walked in, asked for 8 packs of cigarettes, and refused to pay. She did not threaten violence at that time, but left a credit card on the counter with the name Christine Carson. Carson's attorney was concerned about underlying mental health issues and so recommended Carson for a mental health assessment. Carson suffered from bipolar disorder and was unable to give coherent answers to her counsel due to her hysteria. The duty counsel suggested psychiatric evaluation, and the judge concurred, ordering Carson to attend the same facility her daughter had attended a few months earlier. The judge also imposed a no-contact order on Carson and her daughter, Shepherd. In December 2016, Carson was found fit to stand trial, but not criminally responsible for her actions. The judge ordered the case sent to the New Brunswick Review Board, and Miss Carson was released with restrictions, such as following a curfew, avoiding illegal drugs, and having to meet her mental health care provider. In May 2017, Morningstar filed an appeal to overturn his first-degree murder conviction, stating that the trial judge had erred in not giving instructions to the jury about allowing a verdict of manslaughter and not allowing a defense of duress. The appeals court reviewed all 4 points about the manslaughter verdict and denied this point, with many other similar court cases essentially stating that the murder of Bailey Wiley was not manslaughter at all, but murder. To the point of duress, the appeals court relied mainly on what Judge John Walsh had to say in the original trial. Quote, "In this case, the trial judge wrote a lengthy decision explaining why the defense of duress lacked an air of reality and why he refused to put it to the jury for the murder. It is comprehensive and convincing. He found that there was no evidence of an explicit threat made to Mr. Morningstar by Mr. Noel or Miss Shepherd to participate in the killing of Mr. Wiley. There was also no evidence of an implicit threat. This is despite the subjective musings of Mr. Morningstar in his statement that he was really scared of Mr. Noel. Of particular importance is the trial judge's finding with respect to a safe avenue of escape. The evidence revealed that there was 2 doors, one at the front and one in the back of the main floor of the house. The trial judge concluded, I find that a properly instructed jury could not come to any other conclusion than that a reasonable person similarly situated and with the same personal characteristics and experiences as the accused had a safe avenue of escape. Put differently, there is an absence of any realistic basis upon which a jury could have a doubt as to whether the accused had a safe avenue of escape. In my view, there is no air of reality to the no safe avenue of escape element, and the defense of duress fails on that ground as well. Morningstar's appeal was denied. On May 2, 2017, Tyler Noel pleaded guilty to second-degree murder and arson in the killing of Bailey Wiley. Second-degree murder carries an automatic term of life in prison, with the possibility of parole at 16 years. But that decision is up to the judge. Noel was sentenced in July 2017 by Judge Stephen McNally. At the end of a 2-day sentencing hearing, Judge McNally had to decide how long Noel was imprisoned before he could seek parole. McNally weighed many factors, including, of course, that the severity of the crime, the age of Noel at the time of the crime, Noel's background, the seriousness of the offense, and the impact of the murder on Bailey's family. Noel informed the court he had grown up in an abusive home to an addict mother and an incarcerated father. He finally had some stability in a group home, but did not like the rules. The judge stated Noel had been diagnosed with oppositional defiance disorder and attention deficit disorder. Listener, you know that feeling when a case is stuck in your mind and you can't stop thinking about every detail? Now, I want you to imagine that feeling 24/7, but instead of solving mysteries, your brain is stuck on thoughts you don't want to have. And it feels like you have to do something to make these unwanted thoughts go away, like repeatedly checking on what you're worried about, constantly asking someone for reassurance, or endlessly replaying the thought in your mind to figure it out. But nothing works, and you just keep feeling worse. That is what OCD, or obsessive compulsive disorder, feels like. Because there are so many misconceptions about OCD, a lot of people don't know they have it, feel shame about their symptoms, and suffer in silence. Plus, not every therapist understands OCD, or is qualified to treat it effectively, which can make it difficult to find the right help. OCD is highly treatable with a specialized therapy called ERP, or exposure and response prevention. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. With NoCD, you can do live virtual ERP therapy with a licensed therapist who specializes in ERP and OCD. So they truly understand what you're going through, even the symptoms that feel hard to talk about. NoCD makes this life-changing treatment affordable and accepts more than 60 insurance plans, enabling over 155 million Americans to access evidence-based treatment at NoCD, covered by insurance. If you or someone you love is struggling with OCD, you're not alone. And with the right care, you can get better. To find out more about therapy with NoCD, go to NoCD.com and book a free 15-minute call with their team. That's NoCD.com to learn more and book a free call. Listener, you know, with this economy, the last thing you need is a credit card debt. Enter the Chime Credit Builder card. This is a secured credit card with no annual fees. You can build credit with money you set aside and avoid interest and expensive debt. Plus, you can get access to MyPay and get up to $500 off your pay before payday with no mandatory fees. Start building credit with your everyday purchases and regular on-time payments, all with no annual fees, interest, or credit check at chime.com/obscura. You know, with warmer weather just around the corner, it's nice to have some credit to kick around. With Chime Credit Builder, there are no annual fees, interest, or credit check to apply. Use it everywhere. Visa credit cards are accepted. Build credit using your own money. Turn your everyday purchases into steps toward your financial goals with Chime Secure Credit Card. Get started today at chime.com/obscura. That's chime.com/obscura. Chime feels like progress. The Chime Credit Builder Visa Credit Card is issued by the Bancorp Bank, N.A., or Stride Bank, N.A. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal and OTC advance fees may apply. Late payment can negatively impact your credit score. Results may vary. MyPay eligibility requirements apply. Credit limits range $20 to $500. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details. Ann took medication until the age of 14 for these, until he could no longer afford them. The Crown Prosecutor asked for a minimum of 25 years before Noel was eligible for parole, while the defense asked for 12 years plus 3 for the arson. Judge McNally said that he would have to give everyone the same 25 years if he did Noel, and that the 12 years was not the norm. He was concerned most for the reason Noel committed the crime, just because Bailey threatened to report Noel for selling drugs, which shows his self-serving nature. McNally stated that he was surprised that not one of the three suspects had even tried to stop the murder. Noel read an apology in court, stating the murder was stupid and wrong, in that quote, "I hope you guys can sincerely forgive me." After sentencing, the Crown tried to appeal the sentencing, stating it did not match the crime, but they later dropped their appeal. Marissa Shepard's trial did not start until March 2018. There were delays in preparation, and one delay because her attorney had a scheduling conflict due to another murder trial he was scheduled to defend. Jury selection took 3 days. They had to select 16 jurors, 14 regular jurors, and 2 alternates. Almost immediately, one juror was released, and they had to use an alternate to replace the juror. Much of the same information and testimony was provided from Morningstar's trial in Shepard's case. There were a few interesting differences, however. Morningstar was brought to court, shackled as a witness, then refused to testify. This occurred 3 separate times, and finally the court played his videoed police interviews. An RCMP forensic expert testified for the Crown regarding a DNA sample that was found at the crime scene. Michelle Scott Micholi testified that a swab taken from the rear porch contained blood, with the DNA that matched a sample labeled MS. The prosecutor, Eric Lalonde, asked why she was just using initials, and the witness replied that she has not provided names, just initials and file numbers. The DNA on the porch matched the known MS, and there was a 1 in 280 quadrillion chance that the DNA sample could belong to someone else. Mascioli said that there were swabs taken of numerous other pieces of evidence from the house, including a knife and a piece of broken mirror. But aside from Bailey's DNA, the other samples were too small to make a definitive match. There was blood found on the glove at the scene, and the DNA in the blood matched two samples from unknown individuals, with the initials TN and DM. The defense attorney asked the witness how many swabs were taken at the crime scene. The witness said 37. The defense asked if the swab from the near porch was the only one that contained DNA from MS, and the witness confirmed this. The defense asked if there was any female DNA in any of the other samples, but Mascioli said that she could not confirm that there was female DNA in any of the other samples because they were too poor to test. The defense asked her if she could tell how long the DNA had been on the porch, but she replied, "I can't say how or when a stain or DNA was deposited." Unlike Morningstar's trial, Shepherd testified in her own trial. On April 30th, she discussed her life on the run and her background. As for Shepherd's life on the run, she started out with Noel, and they visited several different drug and flop houses. They did a lot of drugs and smoked crack. They went to one house where a couple lived, and a man had a gun. She slashed her wrist at this house. While at the house, the few days there, they all had group sex, but she really didn't get into it. The man took her from Noel and took her to a different house, an hour away, then told Noel he had killed Shepherd. She was at the other house several weeks, where she was drugged and raped. She escaped when she heard them talking about selling her to someone else for sex. She testified that when she returned to Moncton, she was going to turn herself into police, but she was arrested first. She then discussed her background and childhood. She told how her mother got her drunk for her 12th birthday, and then let her smoke crack to help sober her up. Shepherd said she did not like it at all. She mentioned Carson's legal troubles in 2016, and that her mother had died from a drug overdose in November 2017. She revealed that, even though her mother was a drug user, she was the one person Shepherd could count on. Her mother brought Shepherd methadone when Shepherd's opiate use was out of control, and would take care of Shepherd's small son when everyone else in the house at Sumac Street was doing drugs. Shepherd said that she lived with her mother and stepfather for a while, and then she ran into Bailey Wiley again, who she had known since childhood. They rekindled their friendship, and she moved him into her parents-in-law's, although she had to hide him, since they did not like or approve of him. Shepherd said Bailey had been picked on a lot, and so she considered herself his bodyguard. She admitted that her drug use was increasing the fall of 2015. Shepherd and Bailey both worked as prostitutes and decided to share a phone and work together so they could look out for each other. Shepherd used the name Emily when she worked. Shepherd had turned to sex work at the age of 17 when, as a young mother who had dropped out of school, she had no other way to make money. Shepherd used heroin, Dilaudid, and hydromorphone. She got the housing unit at Sumac Street in the winter of 2014 through 2015. Shepherd said that when she returned from turning tricks the night of Bailey's death, she was panicked and had nothing to do with it. But the Crown argued that if this were true, why would she be hanging out with the murderers approximately 12 hours later? Another statement Shepherd made while testifying came back to haunt her. She quoted herself as talking to Noel, who was worried about Morningstar, and said they needed to do something about him, to which Shepherd replied, quote, "No, we are not killing anybody else, Tyler." This was a very telling statement, and she incriminated herself without even realizing it. The Crown rested its case by repeating this statement twice to the jury. The jury only took 3 hours to return with a guilty verdict for the first-degree murder charge and the charge of arson with disregard for human life. Justice Zoel Dayan told Shepherd, "Mr. Bailey Wiley was quite simply tortured to death." Shepherd showed little emotion other than to glance around the room. The Crown's prosecutor told the court that the Wiley family would like to write a victim impact statement, and the judge replied that the court would be interested in hearing from the family of the victim. The Wiley family did not speak to the media immediately after leaving the courtroom after the guilty verdict, but Angela Wiley sent a statement later that day to the media. The family thanked the prosecutors, the RCMP, Sergeant Jean Bellevue, and the jury for their effort. Then she said, quote, "This has been a long and difficult process. For all who came to court, sent messages, or shared their stories, you have made a difference, and for that we thank you. The light at the end of the tunnel has been reached, and justice for Bailey has been served." Shepard's father, Dave Shepard, left the courthouse and gave a quick comment to the media. Quote, "I'm a biker. I don't rattle that easily. The charge carries an automatic life sentence, but the judge decided Shepard must serve 25 years to be eligible for parole." Angela Wiley read an impact statement during the sentencing hearing. Quote, "Telling my sister that her baby was gone, that moment is something I can never erase from my memory. No matter how much I tried to avoid it, people's opinions were everywhere. I remember laying on Bailey's grave at one point, just wanting to see him one more time." Listener, in August 2021, Marissa Shepard's sentence was reduced to 12 years. Bailey Wiley's aunt, Angela Wiley, told the media that the family was disappointed in the reduced sentence. In March 2024, it was announced that Marissa Shepard was released on parole after serving only 7 years. Her risk to reoffend was listed as moderate. Tyler Noel and Devin Morningstar remain behind bars. And I think that wraps things up. I thank you for listening, and keep the fire burning.
When you get the Planet Fitness Black Card, you can bring a friend anytime you work out. And now through March 13th, get your first month free when you join. You heard that right. Conquer the stair climber with your partner in climb. Enjoy a post-workout recovery session in the hydro massage. And do it all again with access to any of our 2,700 convenient locations. So, you coming? Get your first month free and all the perks with the PF Black Card for just $1 down, $24.99 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends March 13th. See club for details.